Hey everyone, this is Dave Coryell, president of Delcor, and welcome to this episode of Reboot IT. I am fortunate and I have Kelly Gartner, who is a technology management consultant here at Delcor, joining me to answer one of the Ask the Delcorian questions. So this one that came in was about whether I should stay or go as far as moving my platform, you know, taking my AMS CRM platform, and how do I know when it's time to migrate to a new product versus upgrading? And how do I make sure I'm successful? So Kelly, who just was running part of our team, who was at the AMS Fest running the selection boot camp, had some things to say about it. So let's not wait any longer. Let's see what she had to say.
Welcome to Reboot IT, brought to you by Delcor. We're bringing you the latest in association and nonprofit technology. And now your host, Delcor President Dave Coryell.
So starting this season, we have a theme of Ask the Delcorians. So I rounded up a Delcorian, Kelly Gardner, who's here to answer one of the questions that came in through over the transom about, you know, migrations, should I stay or should I go, right? I have a platform mostly focused on the AMS CRM area. And how do I know when it's time to leave versus upgrade, et cetera? So welcome, Kelly. I appreciate it. And you just came from AMS Fest. I'm sure this was probably a topic there too that you all talked about.
Thanks for having me, David. Yes, it came up a lot. It's a topic that is on everyone's mind, I believe, in the organizations right now as associations are trying to prove their relevance and streamline efficiencies with the times being the way they are with budgets. But there were a lot of people at AMS Fest that were trying to determine whether they should stay on their current system or move to a new system or migrate to a cloud version of the system they were on. And one of the things that we've heard a lot about recently is individuals that are on a system that's premise-based and want to move to the upgraded version of that, which is in the cloud, and they believe that is the most cost-effective and efficient way to go. And when in truth, it's not, and they could be missing out on opportunities to see what else is in the market that might fit their needs better.
So rather than just migrating premise, first of all, premise-based, I'm like, holy cow, really? We have people with premise-based systems, and that's okay. All right, so we'll get past that. And you're saying that they're thinking by just moving from premise to the cloud within the same product is probably the most cost-effective thing to do as opposed to taking a step back and thinking about their entire ecosystem or looking at other competitive products, that type of thing?
Exactly. I think some of them just want to get it done, right? Mm-hmm. They want to move, sure. And they think it'll be field-to-field mapping that the company they're with understands them, and it'll make very efficient. And I don't think the vendors always do a good job of explaining that it's not that easy. Going from one system to another, if your premise to cloud, is basically starting over. It is a whole new system, basically. So we have several clients who have mentioned that they've moved just from like prem base to cloud of the same system, and that the fields don't match up. The way things are done in the system with the multiple upgrades that it's had since they last upgraded are so different that it is basically like starting over. They have to look at their fields. The fields are all different. The way the system works is different. And each one of those clients who I've spoken with or individuals that were at AMS Fest all said if they could do it again, they would have started out with a full assessment, looked at what else was out there, what else might integrate with their third-party platforms better, or better yet, what functionality they could bring from a third party into a different system that might create efficiencies, create one source of truth in their data. And instead they just plowed forward with going to an upgraded version of what system they're currently on. And they have the same problems in the new system as they did in the old, and some are new problems.
So it all starts with a problem, right? So they have this current platform and they're something about what they're doing isn't working for them and they want to change. So they can look at upgrading, and I'm sure most organizations go through this realization that, you know, we don't just have to upgrade, we can look around. And that's really where it, you can take a step back and like you said, look at what else is out there, what integrates with their other platforms that they're using, other business systems. However, you know, I imagine if you have a good relationship with your existing platform provider, your existing partner, that does weigh in on whether or not you want to go look at, dance with the devil, right? So if you have a great partnership and you are in a product that has served your needs for a long time, you might make the decision not to do too much looking around, but it's always wise to educate yourself. And maybe that's part of what people were at AMS Fest for, right? Besides process, like what else is going on in AMS Demo Day, et cetera, just to see what's out there in the, just to see what's out there in the community.
Absolutely. A lot of things that came up during AMS Fest were discussions around, okay, if you're staying, don't just move from one to another, really look at how you're doing your work and how you can do it more effectively by assessing what your needs are, your business needs, your goals, and looking at how the data currently is in the site, what data you're using, putting some definitions around that data. If you don't have data governance, establishing that. We talked a lot about data governance, meaning that, you know, it's kind of a buzzword people are using right now, but the work and processes behind data governance will help you really set up for success in a new system, like establishing how fields should be used in the system optimally, and how you align your business requirements around that. Meaning that if you have a status field and you're not using it, but you're using your member type and category to say whether someone is a member or individual is active or not, take a step back and say, okay, what fields are we using? How can we use them? And how do they support our business goals? What data do we hope to get out of that more efficiently, that so that we can better inform decisions that we're making strategically around membership goals and attendance at conferences. And then looking at the data and how it's connected to other data. I have a client who doesn't have any data governance. They created, they have sections, and their section leadership is not connected to that section. So when they decided to go on to HireLogic as a community and they wanted to show that leadership for that section, because they weren't connected in the system, they were unable to show the section leaders for that section within their community. So it's taking the time to look at your needs, how they support your business goals and strategies, and then making sure that you're setting your data optimally to support those goals and objectives.
So there's a lot in there. Right. You just shared a lot of stuff that an organization has to do in order to be successful with any type of implementation of a platform, especially if it's an upgrade or a migration, because you're just going to move and have the same problems if you don't. And you mentioned data governance, which, I understand the buzziness of it right now in our community in particular, but it's really broccoli, right? It's stuff that organizations have to do. And it's not the fun part for most people. Some people would disagree, but data governance is something that an organization has to do if they want to, like you said, achieve their goals or use data to help them achieve their goals. I have so many questions around some of the stuff that you mentioned what has to be done, but then even the piece of who has to do it. Right. Because is this an IT function? Is it a membership function? Is it a leadership team function? to determine, because you mentioned the status field, and if you're not using it this way, but you kind of have a workaround and you use these other fields, you know, and or you have a text-based field that you're using, you know, a user-defined field that you're putting text in that you can't really report on, but it's worked for the small group that uses it, et cetera. All that stuff has to be ironed out before you move any data or start using a new system. But who's doing that?
Yeah, you
I mean,
kind
is
of
that IT go, or
that was my next statement was finding it shouldn't be a person, it should be a group of individuals that get together from your major business areas. I think membership and IT are the best places to start. But then if you are an organization that's heavy into certification or heavy into continuing education or products are your jam, I would say getting those major business areas together and just start by defining fields and how you're using them and come to consensus on that and what data you need out of the system. What's working well is a great place to start. And what's not working well? What do you hope to gain with your upgrade? What do you want to get rid of in your upgrade? But coming to consensus with a group of individuals that represent the major business areas is a great place to start. I do not recommend that one person do this, but that you have a lead person on that group, but then it's a representation of your major business groups, but IT and membership being the two most critical.
So it's a cross-functional team with IT and membership leading it. And, you know, if you're doing a RACI chart, somebody has to be accountable ultimately for the data. And I guess this is where we're seeing some changes in our community that maybe membership is accountable for the membership data, right? You mentioned going through and looking at fields and which ones do you need. This sounds really simple, but I've seen organizations struggle with it where each business unit says, these are the pieces of data I need to do what I need to do. And that's it. That's, you know, I have to have, these are the critical pieces of data. This other stuff is really nice and it's interesting and we collect it, but I have to have this other data set if I'm going to do fundraising or certification or whatever it is my main function is, my groups, my team supporting in the organization. Then you go back to the same group and say, okay, which of these pieces of data do you really not need that you just said you need, right? And you sometimes they shave a couple more elements off of that list. Sometimes they say, no, that literally this is it. This is what I have to have. Then you go through the process of deciding where that data lives and how it gets replicated or viewed from other systems in some type of integration, or if you're looking at it through, you know, some type of lookup that you don't have to have it in the same system. You can go out and dip into the others. I feel like organizations really, 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 really struggle with that. They struggle with that conversation around what data I absolutely need. And they struggle with understanding that sometimes the data that they're accountable for maintaining, other parts of the organization need as well. And you don't want them keeping the same data somewhere else, right? You want them using
exactly.
The data, same data.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. I've definitely have seen that in my own experience with associations where a department or unit would be kind of siloed off doing their own thing in their own system and collecting valuable information that wasn't making it back to the AMS. Or CRM. And so when I mentioned that core group of individuals, cross-functional team, it has to be also a group of people that look at, that are organizationally minded, that look at the organization as a whole, collect information from all the other groups on what data they're using, how they're using it, and then kind of threading that needle of what needs to be in the system, what is useful to be in the system to everybody, and what doesn't need to be in the system but can be left on the third party. And I'll give you an example. Where I used to work, first got integration with our email platform, Everyone was so excited because we were going to do write backs to the system on opens and clicks. Well, our system quickly got burdened with all of that data because we sent out two or three emails a day sometimes, and no one was looking at the data inside the AMS. Everyone was looking at the data in the email platform. And while writing back the data was cool because we could do it, we were missing the boat because we weren't writing back data that was usable to other departments or to creating an understanding of our users, meaning that instead of opens and clicks on an email, we should have been looking at what topics were they clicking on, and only collecting that data if it meant that that would help inform publications or what content we put on the website, and then pulling in, you know, the user behavior from the website. It's really important to understand what data is useful, not to for just one department, but for the organization.
Yeah, and that's it's funny you say that, because I feel like that happens all the time, where, and that's why I think it's hard, because, and we go, you can go into two rounds of what data do you absolutely need, because folks do find information interesting. Right? We find it interesting, so we want to collect it. And I hear so many times, you know, well, we should collect that because we might use it down the road. And that's probably not a good idea, right? If you really don't know what you're going to use it for, and you're taking time, and some people have the attitude of, well, it's just data sitting in a field, like it's not bothering anyone, but it's got to add up either to the user experience piece or the visual load of the user interface, or, you know, I just can't imagine that that's a good way to think about what my absolute requirements are for my data. So I don't, it kind of makes me cringe when I hear, well, we might use it down the road, so let's collect it.
Agree completely.
So there's some stuff you set up kind of a, in my mind, I'm listening and I'm thinking, okay, you're setting up kind of a process you go through. You start with the, okay, something's got to change here. Either whether it's really not a business driven or functional business driven decision to say we want to get off-prem and get into the cloud, but that could be a catalyst, right? We have new requirements as an organization we have to address, or new things we want to do and the existing system doesn't do it. So that's another catalyst for looking at things. You talked about, you can take a step back, assess the entire ecosystem, assess whether you just do an upgrade or you migrate to a different product, you know, but educate yourself. You started talking about some things you have to go through, data governance, you know, making sure that you are aligning things with what the organization needs. But I've also heard you talk about, you know, other things like taking a look at compliance issues, especially with, you know, GDPR and the California compliance. And is that something that organizations are paying enough attention to, these kind of housekeeping things they have to do around regulatory compliance requirements?
I see a lot of variety in this space, and some uneducation around this space. I think some organizations think, oh, we don't really, you know, we have a small group of members. It's not really that important that we worry about, you know, GDPR, CAN spam, or CASEL.
Which one's CASEL?
CASEL's the Canadian anti-spam law.
Okay.
And they take email spamming way more important, or it's more of a critical regulation than it is here in the United States. Kellogg's got fined, I think, $1.2 million.
Oh boy.
When CASEL first came
out. That's a lot of Raisin Bran. Okay.
Yeah, it is a lot of Raisin Bran. So, you know, understanding the regulations around privacy, especially now, it's really becoming increasingly important. Understanding the regulations and data from a cybersecurity standpoint are really important. And then we have this whole new conversation around inclusion, whether it's gender based or racial or ethnic based, sexual orientation. And I've seen everything from individual, like there's one group I work with that I think they have close to 28 gender fields that they can choose from, plus an open text field. And I have kind of spoken with them and recommended that they try to trim that down some, because you're diluting your data, right? And adding an open field, they had so many individuals putting in their own thing that it starts diluting the data and not creating good data to make any kind of decisions on. I have another client right now who has decided to take any new collections for gender or sexual orientation off the table, except where it's useful. So they're going to collect pronoun information at their annual event, just on their annual event platform. It will not be pushed to their CRM, but it does present a usefulness in that when someone wears a badge, they're identifying how they want to be identified. So that's a good use case. But in the long run, they understood that they don't use pronouns when they're speaking with members or users, and that the only use case was at conference. So that's like a good example of collecting data for a purpose, using it, and then not letting it junk up your database for other reasons that aren't going to be it, not collecting it just for the sake of collecting it, but collecting it for the purpose it has and then recollecting it again.
Yeah. And that goes back to, again, someone's accountable and somebody has to make those decisions. And accountability and authority should sit together. So sometimes it's data that you can have a really clear zero and one discussion about whether or not you want to collect it and you'll find it useful or usable. And then other times it's more wrapped up in some, like the whether it's pronouns or gender identity, et cetera, it is wrapped up in some societal, some parts that might have a little societal controversy, right? People have different opinions about these things. And fortunately, what is a kind of a black and white piece is there are regulatory requirements around it that are federally protected. There are federal regulations that protect pieces or protect an individual's rights that then can really dictate how you are going to address something as opposed to what someone's opinion is. But that gets back to the organization paying attention to. I do think that organizations have some regulatory guidelines or regulatory, they're not guidelines, they're regulations that help them determine what and how they can and can't collect data and how they're going to use it, which takes that societal conversation piece out, which is nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I've seen it unfold on Collaborate, right? Where a lot of people have a lot of opinions about everything, but ultimately there are regulations that say this is what you have to do. So what about...
And that's nice. Sorry, go ahead.
It is nice. And this whole community is nice. That's what's nice about it. What about, other success factors to make sure that the organization really is successful?
So having all these conversations, of course, we talked about the need to make sure that you have a team together that, you know, has a holistic and organizational vision for member data, how it's collected, how the systems integrate with one another. But it goes a little bit beyond that, because as an organization or team, you need to look at your resource allocation. So and establish clear timeline for each phase of the project. So, you know, doing a full assessment, making those data definitions and defining when you add new fields and when you don't, that data governance piece. But first you need to understand what your team's current bandwidth is, and set some realistic boundaries and time parameters in place to help protect that, meaning that look at your team, look at the other projects you're doing currently with your organization. Usually we don't just do one at a time. We're Americans, you know, we do a lot of them at a time. Looking at vacations, holidays, other events that your organization is conducting or participating in. One of my clients takes off the whole week of for the holiday showcase in Chicago every week. So looking at all of those things and then adding some padding of 20 to 25% around that, knowing that your vendor might have some constraints around resources and timeline, and ensuring that you have those conversations with them as well when you're putting a timeline together. Things always pop up. I was doing a CMS migration one time, and two individuals became pregnant during the migration. And that was something that we hadn't planned for and set the project back. Also COVID, I was doing a migration in the middle of COVID one time, and we didn't change the timeline for that, but it nearly broke the staff to get it done. But there were budget reasons for doing that. So you need to plan appropriately for time and budget, knowing that it, the longer the project goes on, the more budgetary impact it has. So you want to look at a realistic timeline, include some padding around that, identify individuals who have a little bandwidth, but then also ensure that someone's overseeing their workload to make sure no one else is giving them additional projects while they're completing that. It's kind of having a project management overview of your organization's staff and what they're doing to ensure protection around those individuals that are working on a project.
Yeah, and that's probably a really common mistake, is not allocating the resources and protecting them afterwards.
Agree.
Is there an element of, you know, I talk about business requirements. I've had a couple podcasts about days worked up of business requirements. And, you know, making sure the organization understands why they're doing this, not, you know, that's the big thing. Why, you know, why is an organization implementing the system or what do they have to begin with, is kind of the business requirements around that system. And then there's also, you know, the aspect of ensuring down at the, but at the level, you know, the individual level, they know why they're doing what they're doing in the system as it rolls up to the big purpose, the business requirements themselves. And that's where I feel like I hear you and Gretchen and Susie and others talk about that. There's no connection between I'm doing this in this system and this is how it's related to the organization's overall success. I just know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Change management has to be a huge part of this. A lot of organizations that we work with, or a good number, I won't say a lot, don't have that roll-up effect that you're talking to, where the individual processes are connected to the next level, which is department goals and KPIs, which then support the leadership goals and KPIs that are usually directed by a board or leadership group. So it's very important that when you embark on a project, your executive team, your core team that's going to be working on this project, and other staff at appropriate times, take a look at your business goals, objectives, strategies, and ensure that when you're talking about this project, you will understand what success looks like. At the end of this project, the person down at the data level or the process level should have X happen, or this output in, you know, will occur, or this efficiency will be, you know, increased. And looking, aligning how the project supports that process, that output at the staff level, how that project rolls up and supports the KPIs and goals at the department level, And then ultimately how both of those things roll up and support the goals and strategies of the organization. And coming to consensus on those things is super important, and ensuring that that person that works for that department working on those processes that might just be talking to members all day understands their value and importance in the project.
Yeah, and that's the piece sometimes that gets lost also when there are staff changes, right? And the new person comes in and wasn't there for all those contextual conversations that happened during the migration or the upgrade as to the answering the question why. So they get trained on the how. And after a year or two and a couple of other staff changes, everyone knows how to do what they do, but they don't know why they're doing what they do. You know, and I know that sounds harsh or overly simplistic of like, I know people know why they're doing what they do because, you know, they need to process registrations or certifications or whatever. But again, connecting it to the bigger why of what the business requirements were and what we're trying to accomplish as a mission, vision, and business objectives perspective within the organization, that seems to get lost when staff changes happen and you only have a limited amount of time to show somebody how to do stuff, you know?
Yeah. And I'm that warm, fuzzy person, so I'm going to say this. And it's something that is really important to me in project management is having staff and people understand their value to an organization at no matter what level. And if your team is documenting those KPIs and those individual units of measure that support the overall strategy, that's something that absolutely should be shared with anyone when they come in so they understand not just how to do the work they do, but why and how it impacts the profession that they're supporting. And when people have that connection, they feel more a part of the organization as a whole. And usually that ends up in them thinking more imaginatively about the work they do so that you could actually get efficiencies and improvements because they understand the value of the work they're doing and they want to make things better.
Yeah, I think that's baked into our community too, which is nice. It's, you know, we've talked about, you and I have talked about, and it's not an uncommon thing here at Delcor when somebody comes from the association side like you did. They were an association executive and then they come here. And one of the things they like about it is they didn't have to leave the community. They changed what they do and they get to work with multiple associations as opposed to one. That's a really common conversation. And I think that's because this community is full of people on the industry partner side and the association executive side who are looking to make something change, whether it's, you know, child safety, safe drinking water, better school boards, you know, they're looking to improve something. So I think that you put it as a warm and fuzzy. I think the whole community is warm and fuzzy often, which is great. That's why it's such a good community. Well, I appreciate everything you shared. Are there any, were there any moments that, and I'll go back to AMS Fest, were there any moments at AMS Fest where you felt like things are really gelling for everyone at this moment? Like, you know, was it towards the end or was there any theme that you pulled out of those AMS Fest conversations that you feel like were the moment that you thought, oh, this is great? Anything like that happened there?
Oh, absolutely. I could pick more than one, but this was my first AMS Fest.
Yeah.
Being a part of the boot camp and watching the participants go from deer in the headlights to writing down a bunch of notes and talking to us about the process of selecting a new system or migrating, and just the very honest conversations that we had with those individuals. I can't tell you like how many times people came up and asked us like, I thought I knew what I was doing, but I didn't. And thank you so much for teaching us to fish. And I know some organizations might worry about that, but they want to work with us because we actually want to help them, and it doesn't have a price tag on it. And I don't know how to, we're all there. It was like we were all there in it together. Mm-hmm. And other people were helping other people, and oh, I worked with them. Don't go that direction. Try this. And there was so much camaraderie around individuals truly learning, teaching other people, and helping them not make the same mistakes they made, and us being a part of that. And it was incredibly rewarding.
I think that's a good thought to leave us all with, right? Which is, that's what, you know, we missed it during COVID, certainly, and now we're getting back to it. And that's what happens when we get together, create space and time for ourselves to have those discussions where we share in a positive way what works or doesn't work for my organization or for my team. You know, you might have a different situation, so it might work for you, but and I share what worked for my team. So I feel like we're getting back to that, which is nice.
Absolutely.
So as I was saying, I think that was a good point to leave everybody with. You know, let's get together, okay, have those conversations. Thank you, Kelly, for getting together and having this conversation. I know that my four fans plus my mom, or four listeners, shouldn't said fans, four listeners plus my mom really appreciate everything. No, we have more than four. So this will be helpful to the association execs, and I hope everyone took as much away from it as I did.
Oh, it was completely my pleasure. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Good. All right. Again, thank you, Kelly, for joining for this episode of Reboot IT. I very much appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. And as always, enjoyed the conversation and look forward to more Delcorians sharing their perspective. And if you have a question for a Delcorian, as I've said before, feel free to email me, connect with me on LinkedIn, etc., and I will align the right Delcorian to answer your question. All right. Take care, everyone.
That's it for today's episode of Reboot IT. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast directory and leave us a 5-star review while you're there. You can reach us through the Delcor website and keep up with Dave and the rest of the Delcorians by following the Delcor social media channels. See you next time.